Welcome to the Six Degree Podcast, the podcast where we grill our guests about the things that make them tick and find out how human connection plays a role in their life. I'm your host, Emily Merrill. And today I'm so excited to have my friend Amy Christman, founder of the Fierce Collective and coach for Fit Pros, on today's podcast. Amy, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
I love the opportunity to interview my friends, because sometimes when you're with them, with you, like, you have normal conversations, but we don't get to the gooey center of, like, your why and why you created things. But before we dive into digging in further in your story, can we talk a little bit about how we met each other?
Yes, let's talk about it.
Because I think it's such a cool, like, 6 degrees of separation kind of story.
It totally is. Do you want me to tell you? Yeah. Or do you want to tell it?
You tell okay. Me.
So I was connected with Amalavita, which is a career coaching website that I found through my alumni association at Arizona State University. And so I got connected with Nicole Wood, who connected me with Kelly Nash, who is the founder of Lipstick and Ink. And Kelly Nash connected me with Nicole Tremaglio. And I found...
I don't think I actually knew all the ways that you got connected.
Yeah. And Nicole Tremaglio, and I connected and I started following her on Instagram, and she was posting a lot about 6 Degrees Society. And then I remember following you on Instagram, and just in my mind, I was like, I feel like this is a person I should know, because she seems to know everybody. And then I started coming to your events. I think it was early last year, early 2021. And then I did Ready, Set, Coach program with you and Lexi. And then I'm obviously a super fan of you, but we have slowly been becoming friends, because now we live like an hour apart from each other. And it's been so great to have you close and like finally meet you in person. But yeah, it's very 6 degrees of separation there.
So thank you for retelling it too, because I was thinking that Girl Get After It was part of it too. You were part of that community first. And it's funny, there's moments in time when you might think like, oh, no one cares about me, or no one's paying attention to me. And there are these people that are working on your behalf in one way, shape, or form. So like, I introduced Kelly to Nicole, and I met Nicole through another person. I don't even remember who I met Nicole through. And it's like, they became such good friends with one another. And then and Kelly was one of my first clients. So it's so cool to like see the full circle trickle effect. Yeah. And to also be in the same state as you. I want to say the same city, but almost the same city.
Close
enough.
Yeah.
At like the same time too. Like, we both made drastic moves.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. It was all very unexpected. And then all of a sudden you were like, I think I might be moving to Denver. And I was like, that's so great, because you're going to be so close to me. So yeah. Yeah. So that's kind of like how I came to know you and 6 Degrees Society. And it's been such a great journey. I've met so many wonderful people along the way, including you. So it's been awesome.
Thank you for saying that. And yeah. I think this is just a friendly, like, teachable moment for people too. When you see someone on social media and you're like, I would love to connect with them. Connect with them. Send them a message. You can send them a DM. You can send them an email. I've met so many incredible friends and clients and coaches and just resources by sending a message and just letting them know that what I think they're doing has meaning to me. So if there's one takeaway from this episode already, it's just do the damn thing. So that goes to you and me as well, Amy. So like, when we feel intimidated by someone, just send them a message. They're all humans on the other end. Maybe bots for some of them, but
some of them. Yeah.
Yeah. Mostly humans.
Yeah. Okay. Absolutely.
Well, let's dive in. So can you introduce who you are and what you do?
Yeah, so I am the founder of the Fierce Collective. It's a virtual sweatworking platform for wellness and fitness-minded professionals. It's a chance for us to come together at the end of every month, slow down, take a beat, do 45 minutes of yoga, about 10 to 15 minutes of journaling and networking, followed by some really expansive and beautiful programming taught by an expertise in their field. And I'm also a coach for Fit Pros. I love helping Fit Pros get their businesses set up. You know, the pandemic really forced a lot of fitness professionals to pivot. And that is where all my background lies, is in fitness. And so, yeah, that's how it all kind of started. Was it was like a pandemic project, but is kind of turning into a full-blown passion of mine.
Mm. So you started the Fierce Collective during the pandemic.
I started working on it during the pandemic because I was working in the nonprofit industry and I was working from home. So I had a little bit of like time and space. I knew I wanted to do something. I just didn't quite know what I wanted to do. A big part of it was like, I knew I wanted to build a community of women who were all very like-minded, and most of the people in my community already have their own business. So it's kind of turned into like a collaboration space where female business owners can come together, and not just females, but all humans can come together and just connect with each other at the end of every month. And it's been really cool to see some of those relationships and partnerships grow. So yeah, I started it in 2020 and then I launched January of 2021. And I've just been kind of taking it one day at a time ever since then. As you know, I'm sort of like a stay-at-home working mom right now. And that has kind of played a big part in starting this business, is trying to create something where I can be flexible and be at home with my kiddo who's four, but also, you know, have an impact in people's lives.
I think it's so cool that you were able to see that need for community and collectiveness and bringing people together during a time when people were really isolated. I mean, everyone was at home, everyone was craving some sort of connection. And I so admire starting, because I think you've done an incredible job of starting. You've started with your close friends and now you have members and you have people who join from all over the country. Did you expect that when you started?
No, I didn't. I mean, I think so if I could backtrack a little bit, like my ultimate goal when I was living in Arizona was to build like an outdoor retreat for women who are interested in outdoor and fitness activities. And then the pandemic hit and it was like, are we even going to be able to do things in real life anymore? Like, how long is this going to last? And that's kind of when I just like reached into my like toolkit of, you know, being in fitness. What is it that I want to do? I really want to build community. And like, I didn't expect it to be this, what it is now. And it's been so fun and unique. And I've learned so much along the way. I just think back to where I was like wringing my hands and trying to get started. And ask any of my friends back, I would say like maybe 5 years ago, and all they would hear me talk about is me wanting to work for myself, but never taking any action on it. And so in a way, the pandemic was a catalyst, because I was like, it's now or never, baby. I don't know when this pandemic is going to end. And I want to make sure that I can stay connected to like my friends, but also like build a community outside of that. And that's kind of what it's morphed into. And it's just been something that has really been fulfilling and has truly filled up my heart and soul. And that's always what I've been searching for.
It's so true. I feel like the pandemic definitely was like the permission slip that so many humans needed or wanted to just move the needle forward in their life in some capacity. Or, you know, they got let go, or they got furloughed, or they were able to get a small business loan easier than they had previously, or get PPP money. And in a weird way, it was devastating. It was horrible time. It's still happening, but like, it was this weird renaissance too, where people totally. Were like, let's do it. I'm head first jumping in. And
yeah,
if I fail, at least I failed trying.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I feel like that's, you know, it's been a really difficult couple of years for everybody. You know, we have had our trials and tribulations as well, but if anything, I would say it's been a catalyst for people to like chase their dreams in a way, or find that creative outlet that they've been putting off, you know, or do what it is that they want to do. And I also think it's changing the way that we live our lives. I mean, fitness has changed forever. The fitness industry has totally changed, because I haven't stepped foot in a gym in probably 2.5 years. And I don't know if I intend to ever again. I bought a treadmill. I stay connected like to that community online. So, you know, I do think, despite how difficult it's been for so many people, it's kind of a wake-up call, I think, especially in American culture, where, you know, people are prided for hustling and totally.
Yeah, yeah. It's like it was like a whole reimagining of the way that we live our lives. Like, we wouldn't be here if my husband wasn't able to work remotely, which was granted because mm-hmm. of the pandemic. And you right. think of like all of these little decisions that altered our lives or changed our lives because of it. But you mentioned something about fitness, and you are a business coach for Fit Pros. What, how did you get into the fitness world?
So, when I graduated from college, I, had a degree in kinesiology, and I graduated during the Great Recession.
Recessions, yeah. Pandemics.
Yeah. It's, you know, I'm that typical millennial, and I also didn't know what I wanted to do with my kinesiology degree. And so I moved back home. I kind of like hit the reset button, and I got really into fitness, like more on a personal level. Like, I knew I wanted to help people, but like, I wasn't living. I was talking the talk, but I wasn't walking the walk. And so I really like turned inward and did a lot of like self-discovery. And one thing I learned is that I loved being active. Like, I can't think of a more like fun career choice than fitness or the outdoor industry, because you just get to constantly move your body and you get to meet new people and build relationships. And that is 100% me. And so I ended up using what I learned from my kinesiology degree to go back and get a degree in nutrition. And while I was in nutrition, while I was doing that degree, I finally like bit the bullet and got my personal training certification. I started teaching classes at the university, and I just totally fell in love with not just so much fitness, but like the community that is built through fitness. Because I'm sure you've heard of like the third space, right? Where it's like, you have your home, you have your work, and then you have like that third space where you find your community. And mm-hmm. fitness is that third space for so many people. And so while I was working on my nutrition degree, I also like went in from the university, I went and worked in corporate wellness. And that is like where I found my niche. I just loved that job so much, because we were actually like in a health and wellness center that was on site. And so people who worked, it was for Honeywell. And so people who worked for Honeywell would just come and like work out at the fitness center. And I actually still have like so many friends. One of my best friends I met while working there. And then my mortgage lender, when I bought my home in Tucson, she was the wife of someone I trained. And like, you know, I still keep in touch with so many of these people. And yeah, so that's kind of how I got into fitness. And I really, truly loved being in fitness, but there's always a but. It was really, really hard on my body. I have bad knees. I have thrown out my back. And I know I'm not the only one. Fit Pros, if you're listening, like, I feel you if you are thinking about going to a different industry because of how hard it is on your body. So yeah, that's kind of that was my journey into fitness. And it's just always been a big part of my life. In fact, I think I was telling you, and I think I just posted on Instagram the other day, but I met my husband on a fitness website that was built for like fitness singles. And so at the time I was just kind of like, well, I love to work out and I love to be outdoors. And I'm just like searching, you know, I was living in Northern Arizona in my podunk hometown of 2,500 people. And about an hour away was this guy, and he was like really into hiking. And so our first date was a hike, and it was the mountain in my hometown that we hiked. And we've been together ever since. We've been together for 13 years, married for 6. So
and yeah. Does this website still exist?
I have no idea. Actually, Tiffany Sage Swan met her husband on the same website. So yeah, Tiffany, if you're listening, I feel like every time we talk, her and I talk about this, like every single time we see each other, and I've never looked if the website still exists. I should look after this podcast and send it to her.
What was it called?
It's called Fitness Singles.
Fitness Single. I'm sure it's still around or something like it. Cause there's like spiritually single. There's all of the, all of the websites that are available. And how incredible to meet someone that has a shared passion with you that's like very, very important to both of you. Like that's a shared area of focus. Actually, I'm curious, as a fit pro yourself or an ex fit pro yourself, how was having a baby for you? You know, I know you have Owen, you have a 4-year-old. How was it watching your body change and evolve? Because I know for me, it was terrifying and still is terrifying, you know, relinquishing control of my body.
It was so hard. I mean, I think, I'll be completely transparent. I really suffered from a lot of body image issues while I was in the fitness industry, because there sometimes is this pressure to like have the 6-pack and no cellulite and the super toned arms and like be this sort of like perfect quote unquote prototype of what a fitness professional should be. And so I really felt like I developed some really like poor eating habits. I was like very restrictive with my diet. I went like completely vegetarian, and not to say that that's a bad thing. It's not at all. I think I turned that way for the wrong reasons. And becoming a mother was like one, like kind of unexpected, but two, it was just eye-opening to me. And I think if anything, it made me feel so powerful. And I knew, you know, I was in my 30s when I had my kid, and it was, you know, I spent a lot of time in my 20s as a fit pro. And when, I don't know, I feel like with age comes wisdom. And I feel like, you know, I was able to nourish my body. I got really anemic because I was still a vegetarian at the time. And I finally just had to throw in the towel on that lifestyle and allow myself to be okay with having this big pregnant belly and, you know, eating the extra calories that I needed to nourish myself. And it was, you know, it was hard, but it was eye-opening because it just wasn't about me anymore. It's like, as soon as you find out on your pregnancy test and you get it, you know, confirmed, you're like, it's not about me anymore. I could care less what I'm putting in my body. I mean, to an extent, but I will say that I felt the best in my life when I was pregnant. I was still working out and I was doing Orange Theory, and I was just feeling like really, really good and healthy and strong. I also I wasn't drinking. I am a wine drinker. So I wasn't drinking. I was eating well, I was exercising, and it just made me feel like superwoman. And I know that not everybody has that experience, but it was just, it gave me a new, perspective on my body and taking care of it and making sure that I'm nourishing it in the ways that I need to, but also like moving it in the ways that I need to. Mm. And it totally, I love this question because I love talking to new moms and I love like welcoming new moms into this club, because people in my life did the same for me, and I want to pay it forward. But yeah, being a mom has just like changed my whole perspective on everything, which I'm sure you can agree in that respect.
Oh yeah. And your kid is definitely a lot older and more communicative than mine. But I think that was one of the things that startled me the most while being pregnant, was letting go of like the scale creeping up. And like, mm-hmm. that was good. It was positive to have it creep up. And I have heard stories of some doctors. I mean, I got to about 50 pounds, let's see, 47. Yeah, about 50 pounds, almost 50 pounds over my starting weight. And I remember someone told me that like their doctor told them that like they were getting too much weight. And I had read somewhere that like it was okay to be, I read actually the best book that I read that I give or recommend or like order for the person. Yeah, usually I just give it to the person, is Expecting Better. Mm. And it's a book about by this economist, Emily Oster. And she talks about like the studies behind like, why aren't we drinking alcohol, or why aren't we eating fish, or eating raw fish, and like the statistics. And I love the way her mind works. And so I did drink wine. Like I did drink like a glass of wine a week, or like I gave myself more permission. And one of the things she had said about the weight gain was it's better to start off underweight and then be overweight at the end than overweight and be underweight. If that makes sense. So like I did a cleanse before I got pregnant. And then, and I felt like I like prepared the womb in a way, which sounds so woo-woo, but I did. It was post-holidays, and I did like no gluten and no sugar and no coffee and all of those things, and just kind of tried to flush my body as best as possible. And then while pregnant, I was really forgiving with myself. There was a ice cream place called Milk Bomb right below our building, and they knew me by name, and they commented on the post when Jackson was born. They were like, I thought you were going to name a Milk Bomb, which sometimes I regret it too. But yeah, point being is like, I think it's such an ebb and flow, and it's also just like a trust of your intuition and knowing your body and knowing you're doing the best that you can. You still have to be true to you, but also like recognize that you're renting your room for a bit.
Right. Yeah. And just, I love that like concept of like giving yourself permission, because I think, you know, in this society that we live in, and there's so much pressure put on women to look a certain way and be a certain way, it's like, I don't need permission from anyone else but me to do me. And I think being pregnant taught me that in a way, and like having like being a mom has just like taught me so much in general. But one of those things is just like, be gentle and kind with yourself, because we are just doing the best we can. Like everyone is just trying to do the best we can. And I even have like a post-it note above my desk right here that says that you're doing the best you can, because it's hard. Being a mom is tough. And especially a working mom and a working stay-at-home mom, every mom, every way you look at it, it's hard. And so if there is another takeaway from this podcast, all you mamas out there, just be gentle and kind to yourself, because you are doing the best you can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amen to that. And then, but I also, last thing I want to say about pregnancy is I think pregnancy is one of the most out of control experiences you'll probably face, one of them that you'll ever face in your life. Like, you know, especially at the beginning when you don't have a bump, and it's so easy to want to pee on a stick every single day just to confirm that there's something growing inside of you. But there is also something about surrendering and just like enjoying the beautiful thing that your body can build every single day. And that every day, and I always joke that like the retired Keebler elves, like, are project managing eyeballs and arms, and they know someone's like, okay, today we're working on eyebrows, like how big should we make them? And it, for whatever weird reason, that kind of like visual just made me laugh and put me at peace. And that your body knows what it's supposed to do, and you could have all the money in the world and all the resources in the world, and you're dealt this card. You're dealt this mm-hmm. as easy or as hard as it's going to be for you. And yeah, you enjoy the ride and enjoy watching your body shift and change. And the fact that you can like be sitting on the couch eating bonbons and grow an eyeball is still remarkable to me.
It is. It is. Women have such a remarkable ability. That is a lot in one mouthful, but yeah, remarkable ability to be able to do that. So I agree with you 100%.
Yes, 100%. Well, and then I want to switch gears for a second, because we already talked about you're breaking into the fitness industry, and now, you know, you created this incredible community. You're a working stay-at-home mom, which is literally the most admirable thing in the world. But why are you passionate? We know about your own Fit Pro journey, but why are you so passionate about helping Fit Pros at this time in your life?
I think now I have sort of a bird's eye view of the industry. And I have such a unique story. You know, I didn't ever really work in a studio regularly. I didn't teach at many of the popular places, but I still felt the same things that other Fit Pros were feeling. And, you know, it's tough. It's tough because it's such a hard, it's a hard industry to be in because of some of that toxicity that does exist. Like, I remember one time, like this, you know, and this is bad on me, but I remember like going to a class, like one of my first classes before I even started teaching, and I saw the instructor and I was like, there's no way she's the instructor. And that girl kicked my ass. She really kicked my ass. And later I was like, I will never ever judge anyone again. So that's kind of like the mentality that I sort of go into with every fitness experience that I have now. But sort of like taking a step back and looking at Fit Pros and seeing that there's a lot of people that struggled with the same things that I did, I really just take that into account, because I never really had anybody to be like, hey, you should try this certification, or hey, maybe you should think about like doing this on the side and seeing if it works for you, and then like turning it into a business. Like, I just never really had anybody who had that like bird's eye view of the industry that could say, this is what you should do with your career. These are what your strengths are. And I think you would flourish in this part of the industry. And so I really wanted that. I really wanted a mentor. I really wanted a leader and somebody who could just recognize my strengths and build me up for it. And I think that's what I'm passionate about now, but I'm also passionate about helping Fit Pros take care of themselves, because you do literally get beat up in the industry so bad. I mean, I taught step, and for anyone who like thinks that step is gone, step is the best workout, and it's the most fun, and it's the most fun I've ever had teaching in my life. And there is such a strong step community out there, and I would teach step every day if I could, because it's just so much fun. But my knees are just shot. Like, I don't think I can teach step anymore. But, you know, I wasn't taking care of myself at that time. When I was at the height of my career, I wasn't stretching. I didn't have anybody say like rest and recover. It was a lot of just like, I felt so exhausted at the end of the week that I didn't want to do anything. I want, my passion just lies with like letting sort of the same thing we were talking about with pregnancy, is like giving Fit Pros permission to rest, mm-hmm. giving them permission to like not have that ideal body, giving them permission to explore other areas of the industry. And, you know, I think that's just something I wish that I had when I was teaching so much and training so much. And I think I'm just passionate about that now, because I've been there and it sucks.
Yeah. It's funny. I think it goes a lot with a lot of the coaches that I meet too, is the fact that you want to be the person that you wish you had had.
Right. Exactly. 100%.
And that person that, you wish had been in your camp and had been in your corner, just guiding you and telling you to take a weekend off and to work smarter, not harder, or charge more, or know your worth, and to help people navigate that accordingly. Right.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. And I think the fitness professionals are extraordinary. And it's been incredible watching people go from like hustling and driving. I met a girl the other day who said she was driving about 100 miles a day for her one-on-one clients. And so she was bopping around to all these places. And back to like what we were saying earlier about the pandemic and some of the positive changes that came from it. But I think the fact that people were able, they were properly able to like work smarter, not harder, and work from their home and change their overhead and change like that waste energy or wasted time, and like reach a bigger scale of people or charge more money has been so beautiful to see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I think that the catalyst was the pandemic. I know some people too that have decided to not teach in studios anymore and just do their own thing because, you know, they either have that overhead of that cost if they're the owner of the studio, or they've just decided they don't want to be in person anymore. And I think there's nothing wrong with that. I think virtual fitness is not going away anytime soon. And I think it's perfectly okay to want to explore that avenue more as a fitness professional. So
I heard the other day, do you know who Melissa Wood Health is?
Mm-mm.
She's like, if you look her up, she's this beautiful, skinny, I'm beautiful and skinny, shouldn't be in the same sentence, but basically like tall, looks like an ex-model health pro based in New York who has this cult following. And I think her membership is what, $30 a month, $40 a month, but she has been so consistent with her practice and her messaging. I heard from someone that she has like over 400,000 subscribers. So she's making like $4 million, if I'm doing the math right, about $4 million a month because of her reach. And she gets to work smarter, not harder. Mm-hmm. Gets to do it from wherever she is. She doesn't have to be anywhere. But it's about just like building your awareness and building your audience. And what I loved about, you know, Instagram, gosh, SoulCycle back in the day and those types of things, that these trainers became kind of celebrities, but right. They were very like localized celebrities. And so again, like Peloton did a good job of this, but then there's the class did a good job of this, of like making household names that aren't just local anymore. You can be a household name and they can be in Alaska.
Right. Yeah, I know. I love that. I 100% agree with you there. I think that's why virtual fitness is here to stay. You know, it's not going anywhere. I think it's going to just enhance people's lives the same way a studio would.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. And I think what you're doing is so needed. I rode crew in high school and my knees are very cracky and very poppy. There was a lot of knee movement that happened that kind of destroyed me for the rest of my life. But c'est la vie. Here we are. Right. So yeah. Amy, besides knowing that you're in Colorado, how can people learn more about you and what's happening in your life and like join the Fierce Collective and in your next sweatworking event?
Yeah. Great question. So, they can go to my website, www.the-fierce-collective.com. I'm also really, really active on social media. My handle is @thefiercecollective. You can find me on LinkedIn too, for all of those fit pros out there on LinkedIn. I'm there. And you can become a member. So membership is, I feel like it's pretty affordable. It's $200 for the year. Or you can do month to month for $25. And membership includes access to all the other members. So you can find potential clients, a potential business bestie, or just your best friend. And not only that, you get access to all of our amazing events, where they are the last Thursday of every month. So this month we will be having it on July 30th with a health coach, Daniela May, and she's going to be teaching us how to be our own love story. So I'm really excited.
That's love June 30th, May. I think, right?
Yes, June 30th. Is that what I said? Did I say July?
You said July. July.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry, June 30th. For some reason, I can't remember what day or time it is today. So June 30th, and it will be at 5 p.m. Mountain Daylight Time, I think is what we're on. I have no idea anymore. But you can find that information on my website and my Instagram. And membership includes access to all of our monthly events. Like I said, they're once a month. So bring your yoga mat, because we do yoga at every single session taught by yours truly. I'm also a certified yoga teacher. So I would love to have anyone there. You can also come as my guest with code FRIEND2020. Sorry, FRIEND2022. Apparently I don't know what year it is either. But please come as my guest. I would love to have you and love to meet you for anyone who's out there listening that's curious about coming.
Oh, I love it. And so we're going to switch gears for a second, and we are going to pop into six fast questions. You know, I'm very curious about humans, and this could have been called 20 fast questions, but six felt enough. So my first question for you, Amy, is tell us an unknown fun fact about you.
An unknown fun fact. I have a scar on my tongue.
Ooh, from what?
I don't know if you can see it.
Yeah.
I had so much dental work when I was a child that I had they used to call it a butterfly, but it was something that went across the roof of my mouth, and I had it for 6 years, and it just left a scar on my tongue. I thought it would go away, but it never did.
Whoa. And what was the dental work for?
Just, I had way too many teeth in my head. So they had to pull all of my teeth, and my teeth were coming in very crooked. So I have a lot of dental problems. So, but I always get compliments from dentists now, because they were like, whoever your orthodontist was did a great job. Oh my God. So I guess it all paid off. I literally have the scars to show it. So
you must suffer to be beautiful, right?
Yes.
Well, that's a great fun fact. Who would be a dream person to be connected with?
That is such a great question. I think I told you it earlier today. Her name is Rachel Brooke, and she's the owner of the Fit Pro Co. And I just love her work. I love what she does, and I would love to collaborate with her in some way, shape, or form. But yeah, look her up. She posts some really amazing stuff.
And anyone that knows Rachel Brooke, please send a DM to Amy at The Fierce Collective.
Yes. Yes.
I love that. What show are you currently watching?
Ooh, Barry on HBO is kind of, I've always been obsessed with it, but the season is taking kind of a dark turn, and I'm really liking it.
Which is shocking, because every season you're like, they can't go darker. Oh, it went darker. It can't go darker. Oh, it went darker. It's such a good character too. I mean, what's his face?
Bill Hader.
Bill Hader. Yes.
Yeah. You were close.
William. Yes. Yeah. He's so good at playing this character. What book are you currently reading?
So I just finished Dune, the very first one. And I'm not going to lie, I was a little disappointed with the ending, but I picked up a book that I read 20 years ago called The Red Tent.
Have you ever read that book? Yeah.
Everybody I know absolutely loves this book, and I haven't read it as a mother. And so I wanted to go back and read it. And I just, that book. If you have not read The Red Tent, go read it. Go pick it up, because it's one of the best books.
Yeah.
Something I always want to have on my shelf.
And it kind of makes you excited for your period. You're like, wow, wouldn't this be great if we went camping and people just massaged you and honey and
I know, baked you bread and served you beer and rubbed your feet.
Yeah. We treated it like more decadently during that time. I told my friend that the other day. I was like, I'm actually like, I now get kind of excited for my period. And she's like, what's wrong with you? And I was like, well, it's not that I get excited. It's just kind of this, not like I enjoy it, but it's more this is such a cool thing that our body is capable of doing. And I have more appreciation for it. And I try to give myself more grace during that time and be like, you know what? Same. I'm going to take a nap and I can.
Same.
I'm going to drink a bottle of wine and I can't. whatever that grace looks like.
Right. Exactly. Yep. I'm right there with you.
Yeah. I also, my friend works for, is the founder of the Honeypot Co. And they're this amazing feminine hygiene care product company. Did you come to her? I think you came to her event. Maybe you didn't.
I don't think I did.
Beatrice. But she sent me all of these pads for postpartum. And I was like, I'm never going to wear pads. I'm done with postpartum, but I've been wearing them and they're like infused with all these different herbs and they're very cold and tingly. So I'll give you a set next time I see you, but it's just been kind of like, that's helped me get more excited too. I'm like, oh, I feel like refreshed a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. I understand that.
Yeah. Weird digression into that. Next question. What is your favorite emoji?
Oh, the bicep emoji. Always. Wow. I use that emoji all the time.
That's so on brand for you. I love that. And then my final question for you is, who gave you permission or inspired you to do the thing that you wanted to do with your life?
Ooh, that is such a great question. There's so many people that inspired me. I mean, one is sitting across from me right now. So many strong, fierce women that I know and that are members of the Fierce Collective now, who were always in my corner, encouraging me to take that first step and just keep putting one foot in front of the other. So I really honestly have my community to thank. And of course, my family, like, they do come from the generation of like, you go to college and then you get a job and you stay there for 30 years, forever. But they have always been in my corner, even though they probably still have no idea what exactly it is that I do. And I'm okay with that, but they're always so supportive. And my husband has always just been in my corner and sort of like given me the nudges that I need to just keep going forward. But, you know, like any strong and fierce woman, I think that I have been the one who has given myself the most permission to just do what I want to do and follow my heart. But also make sure that I'm like providing value and have an impact on a community that I am passionate about. So
I love that. So I think it sounds like all the women in your life and that inspire you have kind of led you to where you are. I
think totally. Yeah. 100%.
Gentle nudges pushing you forward.
Yeah.
Well, Amy, thank you so much for joining us on today's episode of The Sixth Degree. It was so fun telling your story and learning more about you.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for having me. It was an honor to be here. And like I said, if you ever want to come to an event, just look me up on Instagram. You can be my guest.
Oh, and take her up on it, please. And for listeners, if you like today's episode, please give us a 5-star review, share with your friends, and we will see you the next time on The Sixth Degree with Emily Merrill. Have a wonderful day.